I'll tell you one thing. I'm glad when I was 16 years old, I found my crowd. If you hadn't found your crowd, you need to find them. Old time Holy Ghost preaching. I like this, don't you? How many of you glad you're saved? Amen. Thank God for that. I was preaching one morning and a fella come in late, sat down under the balcony and asked the fella, he said, how long's he been a preaching? He said 45 or 50 years. Well, he said he ought to be about done. He'd be out done. Brother Steve come up and visited me and sung. I was having a heart stent put in. And praise God, I'll tell you what, the glory come down.
Amen.
I love it. Yeah. There's a lady there. She's going to have open heart surgery. And she said, God, am I going to die? He said, no, honey, I'll give you 40 more years. She said, that's good. She went through her surgery. And while she was recuperating, she had a tummy tuck and a lot of other tucks and bloated up here and there. And had a complete makeover. Looked like a doll. She got out of the hospital walking across the road, and there's a truck run over. She said, God, I thought you said I had 40 more years. He said, honey, I'm sorry. I didn't even recognize you. So you have to watch out. Said, I didn't recognize you. If you have a copy of the Word of God, I'd like for you to open it. And so, ladies, be careful about them makeovers. I'm not preaching again them body shops or beauty shops or any of that other stuff, because they've kept more homes together than all of us preachers. That's the truth. Praise God, just keep on keeping on. Fellas, they're really ripping all that beauty shop and Maybelline, Marbelline, and all kind of lean. And I said, boys, please don't preach that no more. I said, for God's sakes, your preaching's going to ruin some marriages. Amen. Keep them right there in. You know, a woman gets real bad sick. I had a woman dying with cancer. You know what she wanted? She wanted to go get her hair fixed. I said, praise God, go for it. Amen. If you have a copy of the Word of God, open your Bible to Genesis chapter number 44. And we'll bring you just a little simple message. Brother Steve said, preach 30 minutes. I can tell you everything I know and half of the rest of these fellas, what they know in 30 minutes. So, yeah. You know, it's amazing how much you can learn after you think you know everything. Amen. Yeah, after you think you know it all, it's just amazing how much you can learn. I preached a long time, brother. I don't know how that people put up with me, but they did. But it is amazing. I used to know all the answers, and now I don't even know the questions. Somebody will ask you some stupid something other like that Solomon couldn't answer. I said, I don't know what that means. If you ever find out, call me, collect. Praise God, I'd like to know myself what it is. I want to read this, of course, is a story of Joseph. I don't know if this is a camp meeting preacher message or not, but it's the best I've got, so I'm going to lay it on you. Amen. Now, I don't preach as long as I used to, and don't preach as loud, and when you get 95-year-old, it slows down, don't it, Rule? Amen. All right, if you will, let's look at verse number 32. This is the story of Joseph. You all know it. and you know it well. And of course, you know the famine was so great, they had to go to Egypt to get corn. And you remember the story how that they went a time or two, and Joseph was there, knew, and all of that. And then came the time when they asked, "Do you have a little brother? You got a little brother? How's the old man doing?" They said, "He's alive." Well, he said, "The next time you come, you bring Benjamin." He said, "We can't do that because father's life's tied up in him. We can't do that." He said, "The man said, if you don't bring him, you won't get no corn." And finally, he let him go. And they pulled a trick on him and said, "Now, you know, they filled their bags full and they put more in Benjamin's and put the cup." They stopped him. And boy, they said, "You are a bunch of thieves. And you know what?" He said, "You can't take this boy." And Judah, he said this, in, if you look, "For thy servant became surety for the lad unto my father, saying, if I bring him not unto thee, then shall bear the blame to my father forever. Now therefore, I pray thee, let thy servant abide instead of the lad, a bondman to the Lord, and let the lad go up with his brethren." Now the verse I'm interested in, "How shall I go up to my father, and the lad be not with me?" Lest peradventure I see the evil that shall come upon my father. I want us to think for just a few moments on how shall I go to heaven and the lads and the children not go with me? How can I go without the family? You know, we all have family that's without God and they're without hope. But I'll tell you one thing. We need to stay with God. Keep on praying. You say, "But my boy's over here on dope, he's this, he's that." Let me tell you something. Determine in your heart, "How can I go up to my father? How can I go up to my father and the lad be not with me? How can I go with the children not with me? How can I go without all of the loved ones and everything? How can I go up to my father and the lad be not with me?" Don't you have somebody? I don't want to go to heaven by myself. I want to take a host, don't you? You know, I was reading, thinking about that. And the Apostle Paul ran right into the same thing. And as he looked at it, I've got three Bibles up here, but they're all King James. I've one for my right eye, one for my left. So I just have to do the best I can. And as you get older, you'll understand. Listen, the Apostle Paul, he said, "I say the truth in Christ. I lie not, my conscience bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow." Listen, great heaviness, continual sorrow. "For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh." And then in chapter 10, he said, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." Father, thank you for your precious word. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Thank you for the good word of God we heard from our brother. Thank you for the good singing. God bless and help us. And may every one of us ourselves, "Oh, how can I go up to my father and the lad be not with me?" In Jesus' name. The founder of our Christian faith, the Lord Jesus Christ, he made it perfectly clear why he came into the world. That was to save sinners. You say, "But you don't know how bad I've been. You don't know how good God is. I'll tell you right now, the blood of Jesus will go deeper than the stain has ever gone. And I'm glad, thank God for that. He said, for I'm not come to call the righteous. I like that. But sinners under repentance. In Luke, he said, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Do you know everything that God has said about rescuing the perishing, caring for the dying? 9 out of 10 people will be at the bema seat and never offered and never asked and never tried to get one man or one woman to God. In all that has been said, you know, 9 out of 10 of the Christians are riding the gospel train to glory. They've reserved a sleeper for the whole trip.
You're right.
Somebody said, when I get to heaven, wake me up, and I'm going to shout all over God's heaven. I said, you better practice a little bit now.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. I'd hate to be over in the corner with a bunch of Baptists trying to learn how to shout. Amen. I want to praise him now. I want to love him now. I want to say glory to God now. Amen. I love him and I praise God for him. You know that old song we used to sing at the home church? Must I go and empty handed? Must I meet my Savior so? Not one soul with which to greet him. Must I empty handed go? And then you remember the story. You met me day by day and you knew I was astray. And you never mentioned Jesus to me. How can we go up to the Father and the people we love not be with us? So you think about, you know, a lot of people, they run this thing like a cafeteria style. They said, I want this and this and this and this. Sometimes the preacher will preach some stuff that I don't like. Lady come up to me one time, she said, I didn't like what you preached. I said, I didn't either. I said, we're on the same page. I didn't like it either. But I said, it's true. Amen. It's true. It's true. It's true. These little old hearts will beat for a long time, and then God stops it, and we're out of here. We are gone. And I'm glad, thankfully. You know, statisticians tell us, every time the second hand moves on the clock, there's a soul goes into eternity. People, you know, do you remember? I can remember when people preached on hell. I can remember when the Holy Ghost saved people and they'd get so saved, bless God, you'd have to tie an anvil on their coattail to run them down. I mean, they got excited about being born again. Thank God they're glad they wasn't going to hell. And praise God, I was too, wasn't you? Listen, first of all, there must be a conviction of the need. People are dying, going to hell. All of these things are happening. But I'll tell you one thing. I'm glad that there has to be a conviction in our heart. Oh, God, please let me have the burden I ought to have. I don't want to go up to heaven and leave my family here and leave all of the loved ones and never mention Jesus to them. You know, the Lord Jesus, he preached on hell. And of course, he did it with a broken heart. Anybody preaches on hell and doesn't do it with a broken heart, you've missed the mark, honey. You have missed the mark. In Matthew 25:30, and cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. If we believe that, I believe it would change our walk, our talk. I believe it would change our testimony. Listen, don't you be took by the 7-day disadvantages. Don't you be took by the Jehovah's false witness. There's one way, our brother preached. There's one way and only one way, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Every man be a liar but God the truth. And we're going to stand on that. And I praise God. You know, the rich man, when he got to hell, he had one request. He said, I have 5 brethren. Will somebody testify to them? Will somebody tell them about Jesus. You know, in 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians 4 and 3, if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. I was pastoring in Georgia, and one of the deacons came and he said, "Listen, I want you to watch the news." I said, "Okay, what is it?" He said, "You watch the news." And the news came on, and there was this house, and this house was engulfed in flames. And the little mother and the dad were standing out there in the yard crying. They said, "We've lost everything that we had. We've lost it all." And then the mother said, "Honey, did you get the baby?" He said, "No, I thought you got her." Listen, may God help us to let the burden lay on us. Some lady came to me and said, "Listen, I've got a burden for so-and-so. Will you go see him?" I said, "No. You got the burden, you go." Amen. Amen. Go and tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, there's got to be some conviction, and then there's got to be some compassion. You know what? I think about this. Somebody will come into a lot of the upper crust churches, and they'll say, "You know, I don't want to sit by her or him because they are of the lower class." Yeah. Let me tell you, where did you come from? Amen. What bar stool did God save you off of? Amen. What hell hole did he drag you out of? It's a mighty good thing not to get bigger than you ought to. Realize where you came from. Realize where you're going. And praise God for it. Listen, you think about our hearts get cold, and sometimes I can tell when I'm getting cold, I don't witness like I ought to. Somebody will say, "Well, I didn't know a preacher got..." Well, they do. You got to get with God if you're going to get some glory on your soul and witness to people. You've heard the little expression, the "I must" of Jesus. I must preach the kingdom of God unto others. Zacchaeus, he said, "I must abide at your house." In Matthew, he said, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death." Medical men tell us that the capillaries bursted in his face and he sweat blood. I'll tell you one thing. The Apostle Paul, he said, "For by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears." I'd like to ask you, and I'd like to ask Charles Worley, where are the tears? Amen. Where are the tears? Yeah. How long has it been since you prayed all night? How long has it been since you wept yourself to sleep praying for a loved one that's without God? He said, "For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ, for my brethren, a kinsman, according to the flesh." Did you know what? Paul said, "I'd be willing to walk off into hell." Yeah. I said, when I read that, I say, "Charles, you're a sissy. There's nobody wants to hear this much, but I'll tell you what, it's God's truth, honey." He was willing to walk off into hell that his folk could be born again. Amen. My Lord, what a thing. Listen, you think about Paul knew what a hell was. There was a lady calling, and she said, "Listen, you need to come and talk to my boy. He don't know God, don't want to know God. If anybody goes to heaven from that church," he said, "I'm going. I have no problem." Talking to him, and he got more reluctant and just kind of sat on an old couch on his back, didn't care nothing about anything or anybody. And after a while, that mother said, as she got out on her face, and she said, "God, if anybody goes to hell, is there any way you could arrange it to where it'd be me? He didn't come into this world. I brought him. Is there any way that, God, you can do a work in his heart?" And it wasn't long till that boy spread out, and he said, "Well, somebody tell me about mama's God. Somebody tell me about mama's God. And I tell you what, then there's got to be the courage to tell the story of Jesus. You know what? I'm glad I'm saved, sealed, satisfied, and on the way. Somebody said, well, there may be something happen. Hey, you don't know what all has happened. But it ain't affected God. Our brother preached yesterday, we're going to the other side. Amen. We ain't going under, we're going over. And I'm glad. Thank God about that. You know what? A lot of Baptist people, they'll forgive you, but they won't never forget. You know, I was about 7 years old, and I got to wanting one of them frosty root beers, and it's over at the store, and I just had to walk through the gully and over through there. Had 3 bottles, and I could get one for $30. I said, that's what I want. I took off over through there. And as I was going, there's a great big yellow lab dog come out. And I petted him, and he licked me on the hand. I said, you don't go to the store? And he said he did. And so we went to the store, and there we was. I was just going, went across the road, and there we were sitting there. And I went on in, and there's a fellow hollered at me. He said, hey, boy. I just met the dog, nice dog. Good dog. He said, hey, boy. And I finally turned around. He said, have you ever thought about selling your dog? I said, what? About what? He said, have you ever thought? He was going to Michigan. He said, have you ever thought about selling your dog? I said, well, I really never had. In fact, I just met the dog. Nice, goodness, beautiful. And he pulled out, that was in the 50s, he pulled out a $5 bill. He said, would you take $5 for your dog? I said, I believe we will. And that dog got in that car, and he was going to Detroit. And there I was. Thank God I had $5 and a whole carton of Frosty Root beers. You talk about a happy youngin'. Praise God, there I was. And every time I go over there to preach, they'll say, that was my dog you sold, preacher. I'm glad, thank God, I'm sealed and saved, and it's all, thank God, in the past. Aren't you glad? Amen. When my wife and I got married, we was poor mercy. And you know what? We had a bean crop. It was second to none. Aunt Pearl and Uncle Lottie and Hattie and Nettie and all them, they come in there. And they canned all them beans. I was working construction work. Came in, and we went to bed, and I was going to sleep, and I heard this. I said, Francis, somebody's in the house. I said, now listen, I've watched more gun smoke than you have. And I said, I've got this shotgun. And I said, you go, and I've got you covered. I said, don't you worry about nothing. Listen, I've watched it, and this is the way they do it. She's from Bryson City, and she didn't know any better. I said, you just slip through there. And I said, I got you. I've got you. I said, I'll get them. I'll get them. And she did. Went through there. There wasn't nobody in the house. But those beans was a popping in the ceiling, and you know. And I said, don't see anybody. She said, "There ain't nobody in here crazy." I said, "Don't talk to a preacher like that." She said, "There's nobody here." Well, I said, "We'd as well to sit up and watch them beans seal, because I can't go to sleep with somebody shooting at me." But I found out one thing, preacher. Every can that's sealed didn't sour. You know, you might, if they sour, they'll go to that white stuff coming out, and it stinks. And if you're sitting by somebody that's stinking, they may not have sealed. Amen. They might need a good sealing. You'll not have any trouble with somebody that reads their Bible through. You preachers find this out. You'll not have any trouble with anybody that reads the Word of God, has a prayer life. Thank God they'll be in there fighting with you and going with you. And I praise God for that. I'm glad I'm saved and saved and saved and saved. And I was going to Oklahoma City to preach a meeting for Brother Bill Pettit. And he took me up, got me at the airport, took me, throwed me out like a bag of garbage at the hotel. "I'll be back after you at church time." I said, "Okay." So I looked up through there, and there's a line of people. And he'd done gone. I walked up through there, and there was a great big tall, red-headed, mad, cussing cowboy. And he said, "What do you want?" I said, "A room." He said, "They don't have them. I've offered double money. They won't let you have one." I said, "Okay." I said, "I'm a long way from home." So after he was cussing somebody else, I went on up through there. And I went up there to that little fellow. And there he was behind that little desk. And I said, and this impressed him. He said, "Can I help you?" I said, "I sure hope so. I'm Charles Worley. I need a room." He said, "We don't have any." I said, "You don't?" I said, "I'm Reverend Charles Worley." I never did like to use that, but it'll work. He flipped through that thing. He said, "Okay, hey, we got you here." And I said, "Sure enough." He said, "Yeah." I said, "How come nobody else has got any?" He said, "Well, about 2 months ago, Pastor came and he made reservations for you." Hey, you know what? About 2,000 years ago, the Lord Jesus Christ made reservations for me, and I'm bound for that city, blessed city of God. And I'm glowing because I have a place in heaven reserved and waiting on me, and I praise God for it. Don't you love the Lord? Amen. Preacher, come on. God bless you. Amen.